Heavenly Father, great is your faithfulness. You've been good to us and you've blessed us in so many ways. And Lord, even in this short time, if we look past and look back at the year as it started to where we were now, oh, the blessings and the protection that you've given to us. So Lord, the second half now, as we look into your message, ask and pray that you would bless your word. Lord, that the message that would go through, that the focus would not be on the one that would speak, but that on the message that would be spoken. And pray, Lord, that you'd give me the words upon my hearts and lips, Lord, that I may rightfully and truthfully speak your words. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As it was mentioned, and we spoke a little about it this morning, actually, in Bible class, and the question was, how do you prepare? The focus was on to the ministers, how the ministers prepare for the message and so forth. And a lot of it has to do with how the Lord lays on our hearts throughout the week, or perhaps a topic that he puts on our hearts. And you know, he knows the message that we all need to hear. A couple weeks ago, the Lord's laid on my heart, and as I started the new year off on the topic of stepping out in faith. And for those of you that you were here, that was the heading of the sermon, stepping out on faith, out in faith. And the supporting scripture that I read was from Luke, and it was about Peter walking on water. And as the message, as I had the message the weeks following, the Lord's was kind of going over that same topic in my mind. And one of the things that kind of stood out to me, and the Lord saying, you know, David, it was good that you spoke about stepping out in faith, but perhaps it'd probably be good that we go back to the basics and maybe review what is faith. It's easy for me to stand up here and tell you to do something, but if it's something that we haven't really reminded ourselves of, how then can we identify with it, and how then can we do that? So this afternoon, that's kind of where the Lord has led me. However, along with that, the portion of scripture that I'd like to read is maybe a little bit of a contrast to what we read and talked about a few weeks back. You know, we talked about Peter stepping out in faith, seeing Jesus on the water. And he said, Lord, if it's you, he goes, bid me to come out on water. Bid me to walk to you. You see, Peter had that faith that if it really was Jesus, he knew he can do that. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 20, and we're going to read from verse 24 to the end. St. John chapter 20. Verse 24 to the end. This is now going to be a contrast a little bit to that, to Peter's experience. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the prints of his nails, and put my finger into the print of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again the disciples were with him, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, reach hither your finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. A bit of a contrast, but maybe not. This is a portion of scripture that we are all familiar with, Doubting Thomas. And perhaps some point in our lives, we have maybe been in this place as well. So if we can't recognize faith, how then can we act out on it? So I'm going to ask three questions, and I'm going to talk a little bit about those three questions. The first question is, what is faith? Very perhaps to all of us, maybe a little elementary. Why do we need it? And where do we get it from? You know, if you look if you look up on the internet and type in what is faith, this is what it's going to say. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Complete faith, trust, complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Then it goes below it, and like in most dictionaries, they'll have the synonyms. Trust, belief, confidence, conviction, credence, reliance, dependence, optimism, hopefulness, hope, and expectation. And then when you turn and you open the Bible to see how the Bible defines faith, Hebrews 11:1 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. And it goes on and say that if you see it, why do you yet hope for it? That's what faith is. Faith is not a feeling or blind hope. So why do we need it? Why do we need faith? First question. If we look again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. Faith is an essential element to yours and my salvation. Faith starts a chain of events that ultimately lead to heaven. And if we don't have faith, if we don't believe that there's a God that loved us so, that sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary, a cruel death for your sins and my sins, what good is it? Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. And if you don't have that faith that Jesus died for you and gave you something that you didn't deserve, then we're doing it all in vain. Another reason why we need faith is for healing. There are two portions of scriptures I'd like to refer to. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. The first portion is, when he came down from the multitude, from the mountain, a great multitude followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. You see, this leper, when he came to Jesus, already had that faith. He already knew that Jesus can heal him. He already knew that he can be clean. He had that faith that Jesus will and could if he would. And this is the same faith that Peter had. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come on walk on water. But he prefaced it by saying, if thou wilt. Is it your will? Many a times we have our loved ones and those that are in family that are stricken with an illness, and we want the Lord, and we have faith that we know that he can heal. And many a times he doesn't. Many a times he doesn't. If it's your will. And then there was another portion of scripture, which is actually, there was another event just below that, that says, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. And Jesus said, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick in the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I really, really appreciate this portion, this portion. Because here's a man that believed and he knew that Jesus can save him if he just said the word. You don't need to come to my house. You don't need to come and pray over him. You just need to speak the word. And we see that Jesus was astonished at this man's faith. The prayer of James 5:15 also says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And I believe that prayer and faith go hand in hand. Another aspect of faith is faith fuels what we do. Faith trumps stress, anxiety, and fear. And you know what? It's very easy for me to write this down, but when I think about this within my life, and when I'm at work, and when I'm under pressure and under stress, and I've got a customer yelling at me because I've got another mechanic that didn't tighten the oil drain bolt properly, and it's leaking oil, you know, and then you've got the owner on one hand, and oh, wait a minute, they're going to yelp you, and now you got the owner coming on you and saying, hey, what's this? And this is stress, and this is, you know, daily events that take place. A lot of times it's like, Lord, what do I do? But faith in God gives us courage, because I know that God will see me through. I trust him. I trust that he's going to provide a way. And you know, 10 out of 10 times, when I have that attitude at work, at the end of the day, it all works out. It all works out. Faith fuels what we do. I was reading earlier, and I noted this down, a couple of, the Esther story as an example. You know, she had faith in God, and she was a woman that became a queen to Azarias, and during that time, they were persecuting the Jewish people, and going before the queen, before the king, you would approach him, and you know what, if Dushko said, you know, how are you going to approach a king? What is your attitude going to be? And if we read the scripture, she came to him in tears, and she bowed down to him to tell him what was going on. And that whole story is a beautiful story. But having faith that God will see her through to where he would save his people. James 2:17-18 says, thus also by faith itself, it does not have works, If it does not have works, but someone will say, you have works, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you for my faith by my works. You see, the things that we do, the things that drive us, the things that fuel the things that we do is the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, is the faith that we have a God that's behind us, that has our back. And then the works that we do is the evidence of it. Another example is that God, that faith in God provides stability. What do I mean by that? Faith in God provides stability. Example. And Brother Dusko commented on this man in the Bible. His name was Daniel. See, Daniel, when they were taken into the with the Babylonians, when they overtook them for the 70 years, one of the things that they wanted them to do was they wanted them to eat a meat that was sacrificed to the idols. And he didn't want to do that. He proposed in his heart he wasn't going to do that, because he had faith in God. And many more of the events that have taken place with him there. Faith strengthens us during trials. James 2:3 says that the testing of your faith produces patience. Testing of your faith produces patience. Peter 1:7 says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we go through trials, when we go through hard times, when we go through times of stress and anxiety, and we have that faith that no matter what, God will see us through, that strengthens us, that encourages us. Even though when we're in the midst of those trials, when we're in the midst of the trying times, it's not easy and it hurts. But Matthew 17:20 tells us, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall move the mountains. You will remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. First Thessalonians 5:8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet of hope of salvation. Faith for you and I, brothers and sisters, is part of that armor that we put on of Jesus Christ. The breastplate of faith. Okay, David, so how do I get it? How do I get faith? Romans 10, 8 through 10, and then verses 13, 14, and 17. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? How shall they not believe on whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If the things that you are listening to, if the literature that you're reading, is not founded on Jesus, is not first found in the Bible, how will your faith increase? How can you strengthen your faith without being in prayer and without being in the Scripture? We know that the Bible, the Spirit, is the Word of God. And it strengthens us, it encourages us, it lifts us up. So in order to receive salvation, we first must confess, according to Romans. We must believe. We must accept. But this all comes from the Word of God. This all comes from the Bible. So without being in the Bible, without being in prayer, and we talked about maybe a New Year's resolution of spending more time in God's Word, spending more time in the Bible, less time reading other books. Or, should I say, books that are not, that don't encourage and uplift and don't give examples of Scripture. The Bible is full of examples of characters that exhibited their faith. We can talk about Abraham. Abraham was 90 when, or 100, Sarah was 100 years old when she had Isaac. Was it Isaac that had needed to offer his son as a sacrifice? You think that took faith? That took a lot of faith, especially for those of us that are parents, that have children, and God's asking you to sacrifice your own child. Joseph. David. Job. Elijah. Elisha, Samuel, and we can go on. The apostles, the disciples, Apostle Paul. But it takes faith. You know, we read about Thomas who said, I won't believe until I see. I need to see it with my eyes. I need to feel it with my hands. You know, Christ knew that. He heard that. Because when he came in, he went over to Thomas and said, Thomas, touch my hands. Touch my side. But you see, a lot of times we lose focus of that. And we lose focus of our faith. We lose focus of putting our faith out there because we don't have control. And when we don't have control, then things start going sideways. Finally, we must guard our faith. 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 13 reminds us. It says, but you, O man of God, flee these things that pursue righteousness. I'm sorry. Godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were so called. Flee these things and pursue, my apologies, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. We need to guard it. We need to use it. We have the Spirit within us that convicts us, that encourages us. And if it is the faith that fuels the things that we do, Let's rely on it. Rely on it. This year, as we're stepping out into faith, stepping out of our comfort zone, rely on the faith that fuels the things that you do. Rely on the faith that provides stability. Rely on the faith that strengthens us during trials. Rely on the faith for healing. And rely on the faith for salvation. May God bless his word.